All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Beat, brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV and on-demand together at DirecTV.com. I am, of course, Dick Baumgartner, along with Brendan Quinn. This is take two of the post-game show.
Hey, we're getting there, man. We're getting there. I just want to make your day longer.
It's fine.
Now 9:30 p.m. Eastern time.
But either way, Michigan State 37, Michigan 33.
How about it?
Yeah, this will be a much tighter intro, I'm sure, than the last one was. But this was, this lived up, did it not?
Hey, man.
We were not entertained. This was, we were, I got a little freaked out yesterday, man. I was like, we hyped this damn thing up for like a month and a half irresponsibly.
Exactly.
And I was like, and here we are, like it's, suddenly it's here and I almost feel responsible for it. And if it doesn't live up to the billing, I'm like, I think this is going to be a great game. That's what I told everyone. I'm like, I think this is going to be a great football game. And then I drive it up there today. I'm like, it's probably going to be a shit-ass game.
I had the same thought.
I'm just like,
had the same thought.
One team is just going to beat the other's ass and it's going to be whatever. No, not so.
I'm having my coffee at 9 a.m. I'm watching game day or whatever. And I'm just like, there's too much. It's everything's dialed too high. There's no way this lives up to what it could be, what it should be, what everyone wants it to be. Mm-hmm. And I basically felt that way up until kickoff. And frankly, I felt that way even going into the first half where I was like, shit, Michigan might be just bullying its way to a big-ass win here. And then, you know, there's so many plays you can circle in that first half that, shit, film for Michigan is going to be rough on Sunday when they go through that first half especially. But overall, before we start breaking shit down, like
– right.
Awesome. Awesome for both schools. Awesome for the state.
What a delivery.
It was just an unbelievable football game. You know, state fans who were there, God bless you.
Because to live through it.
I mean, to live
Either
through
side,
that game where you're just
crowd too, yeah.
You're just getting the shit kicked out of you, and everyone that was sneaking cigarettes out in the concourse at halftime was certainly having the same conversation, and that is, we're not as good as them.
Yeah.
Right?
We're getting beat.
And then an hour later, it was like, oh shit, Michigan State is legit. You know what I mean? Like,
they've got the answer.
It was just up and down, over and out. Unbelievable game, unbelievable passion. Awesome.
Yeah, delivered. I mean, it held up. That's what it was. I mean, we talked about, you know, all the things that it could be in terms of, you know, both sides air it out and just let it loose and not really be afraid of the moment. And we talked about that with Michigan, and that was the thing. You know, Michigan really wasn't afraid of the moment. They let those guys do their thing. McNamara threw for damn near 400 yards. I mean, you know, like, McCarthy threw a touchdown. I mean, they let him play. Maybe one play too much. Clearly one play too much. I mean, all these things. You know, you got Andrew Anthony out there looking like Braylon Edwards, for crying out loud.
Unreal.
And Michigan State's answering, and we talked about that. Like, Peyton Thorne has been this guy all year that has had his moments of, what are you doing? But he's also, every time they need him to, like, you know, that 4th-and-1 in the first half where he lofts the ball up, he's got Hutchinson right in his face and just drops it in the bucket. It's like, that kid's made that throw every time they have needed him to make it all year long. And it was, I wrote it in the story that I wrote for the game, like, this was a rivalry game. This was one team having to take it from the other. This wasn't given away. One team, Michigan, you could argue, like, left the door open. But, I mean, they also fought back at the end, right? So this wasn't, to me, a game where one side just sort of turtled and fell down and said, here, have it. It was a fight. And
it was.
And a legit fight that I think when people settle down will appreciate a lot more, you know, clearly once things settle. But,
And a game with the appropriate star power for the moment, too, right? Like, I look back when we recorded Thursday, and we're like, you know, Hutchinson's going to be the best player in this game. Oh. What impact does he have? He was not the best player in this game. Kenneth Walker was the best player in this game.
Yep.
Dude showed up unbelievable, like, legend stuff. people are going to be talking about that 25 years from now. And it was not like a fluke play, some
pure
crazy catch. No. That was 3 hours. He just ran.
The funny part.
When they gave it to him. Like,
I want to say this.
Monster.
That's the best part about it. Was like, I kept seeing those tweets, and I slacked Mike earlier and made fun of him about Miami, but like,
unnecessary. Right? Unnecessary, like, fucking drive-by, but all right.
The Canes got a dub today, so it was fine. I think, anyway. But either way, you know, I saw these tweets earlier in the game, like, from people, I guess, that hadn't watched or hadn't believed it or whatever, but people were like, man, Walker's legit. He can run. And I'm like, what have you
been... Oh, my God.
You know, kind of, what have you been watching? But my favorite part about it was is that people did get to see him with the physicality, where it was like, that's the stuff that we talked about earlier in the year, where it was like, you know, this guy runs with a, you know, physicality and kind of a balance as a guy who's really hard to tackle between the tackles. And mm-hmm. to see him sort of pop a couple, you know, in that area was, I thought, you know, it really did show the full, this was the perfect Heisman moment, campaign, kick, push, whatever type thing. You know, it's the biggest stage he's going to play on. I mean, they'll get Ohio State, I suppose, so it'll probably be about equal, right? So this is the biggest type game, the biggest one he's had so far. And I mean, to have 200 yards damn near and 5 touchdowns, I mean, delivered.
Yeah.
I mean, he did everything he needed to do. And we talked about that going in. It was like, you know, he didn't need to be Superman for them to win the game. We didn't think, but I mean, turned out that's what they had. I mean, that's what it was. We know we got to get him in certain situations. Let's keep doing it. Keep hammering at it and he'll figure it out.
The times that he turned nothing into something.
He did.
That 27-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
That I mean, that play was dead. That play was
that's
over.
That's just what he does. I mean, his vision is unbelievable. To be able to show, and that's what I think that, you know, he caught some passes in this game, and I think that that was something that, you know, people had been still sort of waiting to see on him. And I don't think we've seen the full, like, I think there's more they can do with him in the screen game and things of this nature. I also don't think they really need him in the pass game. I don't think that's really what their offense sort of dictates. But you did get the full, I think, Kenneth Walker experience in terms of what he can give you in the run game, which is, that's why he's unique. And it's the gap and the zone stuff. He can do the downhill. He can get wide. He can cut back. I mean,
bounce, yeah.
You have got to be all 11. And I did think that Michigan, and it's one of these funny ones where late in the game, he got away from him, right? He popped several late in the game. But, you know, for the first, I'd say, like, maybe not three quarters, but maybe two thirds, I thought Michigan did a hell of a job. They were fighting with him. They were making him earn it. But you looked at the stat sheet and he was still getting his yards.
Yep.
And those type of guys, that's like this is not me saying this, like comparing player to player, but that's what like Jonathan Taylor used to do. Mm-hmm. When Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley and those and Elliott and the big time dudes that have come through the Big Ten over the years. And I'm not saying that Kenny Walker is the same as these guys, okay? That's not, I don't think, the case. But because those guys are, you know, Saquon and Elliott are like top 5 picks. I'm not going to put him in that class.
Right.
But he's the type of guy that gets his. Denard was like that. The type of guy that just gets it. He's going to get his. He's going to find a way to make like 2 or 3 plays to keep that team in the game, which is exactly what he did the whole way. He kept them in the game the entire game. Keep us in the game. Keep us in the game. He also closed it out for them, does the whole shot. But like, he's been this way all year. And, you know, for him to be able to perform on that big stage like that, yeah, that's a big deal for him. Right. That's a big, big deal.
Okay, what do we want to talk? Do we want to get into key plays? Do we want to get into big picture Tuck Harbaugh? Do we want to get in? Yeah.
Let's talk about the game itself. Because I think in some ways, you know, in some ways it went how we thought it would go. And in some ways it almost, and it didn't. It didn't, it didn't.
I was getting nervous about my prediction there for a second.
You know, Michigan, both teams were able to execute in this game. I think that's the thing I would take away from it. Like both teams on offense, both teams were sort of able. Michigan defensively was able to limit Michigan State more, but it wasn't like Michigan State wasn't able to get the ball going. You know, I think Michigan had its way in terms of Hutchinson was tough for Michigan State to deal with. He kind of had some moments where he was wrecking the game. Probably should have been a touchdown, right? Like, yep. I mean, that's something that people aren't, I guess, I think Michigan fans are rightly upset about. I don't understand that. I didn't then. I don't really now. That was a huge call in the game, a huge moment in the game when it happened. The ball comes out. I saw him catch it, and I just said to myself, I said out loud, I said, touchdown game, ball game. I was like, that's the game. Like, what would that have been? Like, at that point, I don't know.
Three touchdown game, right?
Like a three touchdown game. I mean, like, maybe it wouldn't have been ball game, but I mean, like, if you're going to break a team's will, it would have been pretty damn close to right there. So, I mean, Michigan was able to do some things, but it was just one of those deals where you knew they were going to have to play the full. Are you going to be able to play mistake-free the full way? Because they're going to test you the whole distance of the game.
And that's the thing. the refs are going to make mistakes. Like, you almost have to have it built in. You got to have it built in going into that game. Shit's going to happen, right? But
all
like
over the place. The bigger the game, the more shit happens. Usually, is how my experience.
Exactly. That drop by Blake Corum, though, 3rd and 5 in the first quarter. You know, they're already up 7-0. He drops that ball. There's nothing in front of him.
It's a 14-0 game.
You know, now it's a 14-0 game in the first quarter. You know, Michigan State would immediately be pressing, right? And that's when bad things start happening on that end. Like, you just can't drop that ball in this game. And Blake Corum, otherwise, you know, had some great moments, and that sucks that that's what he's going to think about tonight. But, like, that just can't happen in a game of this magnitude, right?
That's the thing that people rightly critique Jim Harbaugh's teams about. And that's the people that people rightly critique Jim Harbaugh about, frankly, where it's, you know, your teams have lost games before as the better team in terms of they were better than the opponent, but they didn't execute when they needed to. Like, Mel Tucker's quote after the game was nailed it. I mean, Mel Tucker speaks in brands, but like, so this is probably something scripted, but it was, you know, the whole concept of being at your best when your best is needed, winning, you know, being there at winning time. And it's just like, Mel Tucker, that's his thing. That's what his team has done. And when you flip it to Harbaugh, you're like, that's what you haven't done. That's what his team has. His team have not done in any of these moments. Very few. And they have happened. I'm not going to sit here and say that he hasn't won a big game, right? I'm not going to do that because he has. But it's not nearly enough. And he's lost far too many. And they've been outfoxed far too many times where it's like, you kicked 4 field goals in this game.
He got outscored 37-23 in the second, third, fourth quarters of this game.
So, I mean, Right. And you gained 500, whatever. So, I mean, it's just like, this is the stuff that we've seen before and talked about before where it's like, you're clearly not maxing this out. You're not.
Right.
You're not coaching the game. Like, Mel Tucker, you are coaching the game, but you're not coaching it with the type of aggression that you sort of have to with modern college football. Like, he's getting there. But as we've said, not fast enough. Mel Tucker's already there. Like, he's going for it on 4th and whatever down there near the goal line instead of kicking that field goal. Harbaugh's probably kicking the field goal down whatever it was. Let's be clear. We've seen him do it before. Mel goes for it, touchdown. I mean, like, those are... Tucker said it after the game. No lead in college football is safe. These games, they take forever. The clock is stopping all the damn time, which is correct. If you've been in the NFL, you know. The clock constantly stops. The ball is constantly being reviewed. There is no such thing as momentum. If there is momentum, someone's throwing a flag. It's constant, like, up and down, yo-yo. So the coach who can get the yo-yo to stop and just drive the car down the middle of the road is the one who is comfortable in the chaos, not the coach who is trying to measure every single thing exactly right, and he's missing one thing by an inch. That's Jim Harbaugh. Tucker's the guy driving down the middle of the road. Harbaugh's the guy trying to measure every single thing and missing it by an inch, and it's the critical 1 inch. That's what it is. That's what it is right here. That's what it's been in this game. In a lot of ways with Harbaugh, I think that's what gets him. I think they overdo it sometimes. They overcut it. They overanalyze
it. So give me an example of that today. Like,
McCarthy, well,
like,
or
pick something.
JJ, I mean, I know that, you know, that McNamara was banged up, I suppose, at the end with, I don't know if he was in the tent during the play, before the play, or
apparently.
Whatever.
Let's check the Fox broadcast.
Well, Fox didn't say anything about it, but that doesn't
Fox
mean
Fox didn't say anything. Right, there you go.
Right, that doesn't mean
but
he
continue.
Wasn't in the tent, but like,
right, exactly.
Whatever. So like, well, that would be, well, if he's not, so there's one clearly, what's he doing in the game? But like, also, that's one, too, where we've talked about, like, I actually thought they did a pretty good job of that, but, like, the whole thing is kind of, it's hard to carry on, and the offense, I think, just requires a lot of that sort of, like, timing, precision, timing, like, they don't really have, for a team that has explosion and weapons, it just doesn't, it feels like it's a chore for them to get their ass down the field and score a touchdown. It just feels like everything has to be, the run game, they're very good at it, but it's downhill gap shit. It's not shit. Stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. It's good, but it's not zone stuff where you're sort of letting... Like, Walker busts those runs a lot on zones where it's like a zone run versus a gap run. Okay, so we'll just talk about that very quick. A zone run would be a runner is essentially having like 3 to 5 gaps to pick between. A gap play, you have one gap. The gap play is designed to attack one gap. The zone play is designed to stretch and sort of decide and cut, right? Like, I'm either going to bounce or cut. I'm going to decide, the runner. I'm going to set my blockers, don't know what I'm doing. They're going to block this play the same no matter what, and I'm going to take care of the rest. The gap play, everybody is trying to get exactly right, right? Like, cut it perfect. Michigan is still a gap team, even though it's a spread you out team. But a lot of the stuff they do, which is why they're hard to defend, is also hard to execute. So it's hard to finish drives. They still run it like an NFL team. I mean, and they do. Jim's an NFL coach. Like, I mean, he coaches it like an NFL team. Better or worse. Sometimes it's for better because sometimes they're hard as shit to play because they don't give you freebies when they're on. They've won games this year because of that. But in this game against a coach like that with a player like that, you didn't roll the dice enough, I guess. I mean, if that's your criticism, your critique, because 4 field goals, you know, and then, you're not, it's not going to do it. You know that, you know, I mean, he knows that, but what do you do? You know, you gotta finish.
So do you think Michigan State then, Michigan State's offense is kind of the perfect converse of that, where Michigan they're State's running offense, the tempo stuff, Michigan's defense, they got guys running on the field, off the field, no one knows what the hell is going on. For some reason, for some reason, they're not using timeouts and that key spot in the first or the second quarter when clearly weren't set.
Look, I can't.
Like, I don't know what that was about. But to the point of the point here, though, like, is that fair to say, though, that, like, Michigan State is
polar on that? Michigan State outfoxed them in the game. I think Michigan State outfoxed them in game. And I think that's what happened. I think Mike McDonald got tempoed by Jay Johnson and company there a couple times.
How the fuck do you not see that coming? Isn't that what they do?
Well, that's what happened. So it happened.
That's not good.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he got a little bit. And I think that's what happened because it happened like 10 times. I mean, it happened a bunch, right? So those little things all add up. And I think Mel Tucker knows he's got a really good staff. And Harbaugh does too. But Harbaugh's staff's younger. And Harbaugh's staff is sort of growing and learning. And Mel's staff's established and together. And I think Harbaugh's staff's solid, too, and I think they'll learn from this and get better from this. But, like, they did get out Fox a little bit today, and that's the difference in a game like this. Those little plays. I mean, like, even so much as you got people that are getting pissed at the end of the first half, but Tucker took all 3 timeouts, made Jake Moody kick 4 field goals. You're goddamn right he did it.
Yeah. No, that was genius.
Right?
Why, like, wouldn't you?
Shiano did it to him earlier in the year, and Shiano took 2 and then faked the third, and the kid missed the walked off the field.
That's great.
Shiano, whatever. So, like, those are the things sometimes that make the difference in the game. And Harbaugh, you know what? Like, he gets so into the call and the moment. It's been like this for Jim Harbaugh since he was coaching San Francisco or Stanford. You hear this all the time. They have too many delay of games. They can't get out of the huddle in time. They're so into the call or the, we got to get this thing right. They don't let the game flow sometimes. Michigan doesn't have a lot of flow, right? College football is a lot about, you know, letting guys just be guys. And that's why Kenneth Walker is so good in this offense, and he wasn't at Wake Forest. Or he was, but he wasn't enough, right? Because they cut him loose, let him do his thing. They bottled his ass up several times today. Keep going. Keep doing it. Don't go, you know, the wood chop, whatever. But, like... He kept getting asked after the game, you know, about his fit or whatever, but I think that I'm sure Tucker just told him, we're just going to give you the ball 30 times. How's that sound?
You know, right?
It's probably like, sounds pretty good. I think I can do a lot with that. Just keep consistently sticking with it. They just don't measure the game. They have a really good staff, and I think they know the roster really well. And Michigan does too. Michigan does too, but it's just, you know, game inches.
Give me some key moments where, when you look at Michigan State, and we're coming out of this, right? And I think everyone's going to be looking at Michigan State a little bit differently.
Sure.
Right?
Like, I think so.
You know, we talk about it a million times. Are either of these teams good? Blah, 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 all that shit, right? I think they're both good. But Michigan State, I mean, they showed some tough stuff in that game. Give me some moments, some plays, some decisions, whatever, that will really stick with you when we're moving forward and we're saying, what can this team really do? That kind of speaks to its ceiling.
I think the thorn to Jaden Reed throw from the slot there, on that fourth down where if you miss it, it might be a ball game.
That ball was in midair, and I'm like, I don't like this call. What is this?
That is man coverage against Daxton Hill, who is a five-star athlete. And Jaden Reed was not a five-star athlete. Neither was Peyton Thorne. But those dudes have been doing that for a long time, as everyone knows, as the Peyton Thorne-Jaden Reed story is getting Stafford Kershaw-esque here at this point on the broadcast. Uh-huh. But, I mean, what a throw and what a call. And that is what I'm talking about, what I'm saying. That is Jay Johnson and Mel Tucker or somebody saying we're going for it and somebody else saying, well, if we're not going to use Walker, then it's got to be our best guy to our best guy. Throw a goddamn fade to Reed. I don't give a shit who's covering him. That's what we're running. Right. They've done it 1,000 times. Like, that's to have the sort of like, to go get that and know you're going to get it. I mean, it's got to work to make you look good, but Tucker does that a lot and Harbaugh does too, I guess. But, you know, this was one where I think Tucker just pushed one more button. And, you know, that's sort of what it was. I just don't think they made enough mistakes, right? I think that's what it was. Michigan State just didn't make as many, probably.
Yeah, and like on the defensive side, like you talk about holding them to those field goals.
Well, yeah. They're huge, good as a red zone
over and
team,
over again.
Right.
Like the play that jumps out, first play of the fourth quarter, when they're coming out of it, it's still a 22 game, whatever. And that with that cornerback blitz, right?
Yeah.
Like, just a huge play in a huge
moment. And that, I think,
dinged
up McNamara, I think, to a point where,
Was that the play?
I think it was.
He got goddamn hit. Yeah,
he got wrecked, yeah. I mean, it was pretty bad.
But great play call, great moment, great everything. And, when you're looking for those pivot points.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't even know who was on that rush. Who blitzed there for State?
It was a corner. Was it 30? Was it White? I can't remember who it was.
Sure. I don't know.
Everyone's
yelling at their radio on their Sunday morning making pancakes.
but I was going to say, because Michigan, Harbaugh kept getting asked, because the backs didn't. I mean, it was 27 carries.
Harbaugh didn't say shit. I watched his press conference on the drive home from the restaurant.
And Haskins, was it 146 rushing yards? So,
yeah.
They were about 4.5 a carry, which is not the worst thing in the world, but it's also not great, and they probably would have liked more. But really, Corum and Haskins, I think they were getting the 3.5, the 4, the 3.5, the 4, but they weren't.
Yeah.
They couldn't turn the 4 into the 8 and the 8 into the 20. And the difference, and Harbaugh, the answer he gave, the only one that he did, was somebody asked him what they do to bottle up the backs, and he was like, they tackled. And that's as simple as that answer had to be, because that's true. They tackled. And this is something that I didn't know what we would see in this game, because Michigan State's linebackers, as we talked about and I wrote about as well, Halliday and Quaveris Crouch, especially Crouch, have had missed tackle problems. And I think Crouch, I'm looking at 13 tackles for Crouch. He led the team. Halliday had 10. It's the same as last year. I mean, they answered the bell. That's what it was. How many times did you see Haskins and Corum look like they were like an ankle away from just ripping one to like ankle away? Get off me. And it's like that happened like probably 10 times. And it's like, that's 70 yards right there. That's just like hanging on the field. And that's the difference. And I think that Michigan State tackled for the full game all the way through, just like they did last time.
Whereas Walker was,
exact opposite. He got better as the game went on. So, yeah.
But even anytime he ran into contact, dude.
Yeah, ran right through it.
Like I mentioned earlier, that 27-yard touchdown. He ran into a phone booth and came out like Superman.
No problem.
Like, unbelievable. You know, this guy.
He's got that start-stop, man, from dead.
Like, the play isn't over until he says it's over.
Yeah.
He's just wildly impressive to watch.
He's got that speed from nothing, right? Where it's just like.
Exactly.
And that's what made him, that's why it's like confounding how he couldn't be a bigger deal at Wake Forest, especially as they're good now. But like they do a lot of that where it's like just start on a dime, make a read really quick. And if you don't have him just like completely penned in, man, like, and Michigan did a couple times, but like as you saw, it doesn't take many. It's like only a couple and it'll kill you. There's just nothing you can do about it.
So let's take Walker out for 1 second. Give me your non-Kenneth Walker player of the game for Michigan State.
I mean, it's probably it's probably those guys on defense, to be honest. I mean, the fact that they hung in there. I mean, I thought the linebackers were... I'd have to, without watching the film and seeing, but I mean, I don't remember a lot of missed tackles. I don't remember a lot of, like, times where they were just gasping at air or reaching at air or, like, a lot of busts. And for Michigan State, those are the guys that, for me, defensively, when they're good and when they have a chance,
right.
those guys are disciplined. And when they're a mess, like, those guys are bad. So I would say those guys, I mean, I knew Henderson would play well and tackle well, but Darius Snow had like, I think, 10 or 11 tackles in this game. Mm-hmm. Safeties tackled well. The linebackers tackled well, and they had to because Michigan's line is legit. And again, like, everybody inside can play in this game, and people need to know that. This is a fight now. Everybody up front can go. And Michigan didn't have, I don't think, complete full strength. I think Keegan, I don't think he could play the whole game. I think he played some, and then Barnhart finished it off. But, like, he's a nice player too, so... I don't know. I mean, I saw a lot of people telling me the old season's over after the game, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't watch college football anymore. Right. It's probably what I would tell you.
It's amazing if, like, that's such a funny reaction. Here's why that's such a funny reaction, right? Because if
see you next week.
If that other play isn't overturned, right?
Right, yeah. It's
it's 7 points.
Same game so. The other way.
All things considered, right, Michigan wins the game. So, hypothetically, if that play counted, everything else was the exact same, and Michigan had won the game, we'd be sitting here talking about Cade McNamara having a job-defining performance, right, in a lot of ways for much of the game. Yeah, right. Like, the fact that he took his, like, sixth and ninth options and beat Michigan State, right?
But Eric catches. All,
I don't know. I didn't even heard of that guy. He was a grown ass.
You're about to call
man.
Him Eric Al.
I will take it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to drive his ass down to Ford Field tomorrow, and he's lining up alongside
for the Eagles. You like that?
Yeah, he's the second tight end.
Oh god.
No, and Andrell Anthony, right? Like that.
Oh my god, Andrell Anthony.
That would be the story today. We would be talking about this. We'd be falling all over ourselves.
Well, that's why it was such a great game. Because everybody did something, man. It was...
Yeah.
And
Jake Moody with the fucking kicks, right? I mean...
Yeah, let's talk about Michigan for a second there then. Because that's... Mm-hmm. Andrell Anthony. I knew he was fast, right? Like, I mean, I think everybody who watched him in high school knew he could run.
He's a first-year freshman, right?
Yes. I did not know he was like... physical like that or had that kind of like, I did not know that. That is, he made some tough catches in this game, not just the touchdowns, which were spectacular plays, but the, like, he made some really tough catches along the sideline. He made one with his foot that was nearly a catch, a tiptoe.
Yes.
He looks like a damn superstar. I mean, my God, like, this guy's not coming off the field, folks, I wouldn't think.
Like, so, like, he's one of those dudes who takes it out of the sky. He gets it way the hell up there.
Like, there's a completely different layer here if that turns into something that's sustainable. And I'm sorry, McNamara's checkdowns were freaking outstanding. I mean, it was like, did he make every throw? No, he's still missing some throws. Yeah, but, like, as you saw, there's a reason why he's playing, and there's a reason why McCarthy's not starting and playing the whole game. He fumbled twice on plays that no one touched him. You can, you know, like, I still don't mind them going back to him because you saw the touchdown pass that he had. A terrific throw, right? And I thought that was great. I thought that was like, man, you guys are threading the needle here. This is hard to do. And you thought, hey, they're hitting it. And then, you know, it doesn't work out in the end. But, like, there's still a lot to be encouraged about, I think, about what Michigan's doing right now. And, yeah, you can be pissed that... And I'm not going to blame you if you're sick and tired of it and don't want to see it anymore and don't want to do it anymore and just want to see a different coach. I'm not going to blame you. 7 years is a long time. Sure. 7 years is a long time, even if somebody's been giving you better than what you thought you got out of Harbaugh, right? Like, I'm not going to tell anybody what to think at this point. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do either. If Ward Manuel, if they go 10-2 and Ward Manuel says, goodbye me, I mean, I'm not going to tell him. I mean, what the hell am I to say? Who are we to say that either? I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, that's a completely different conversation for the end of the year. All I know is right now, that's a tough loss in a game where he got outcoached. Not like he's never been outcoached before. I mean, okay? Like, not like it's never happened before. So, hey, get better. Keep working. And now we're going to see, because I'm very, 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 very interested to see what team we see next week against Indiana. Because, you know, Indiana's got problems. Michigan should be pissed. Aiden Hutchinson looked like he wanted to burn the stadium down. Okay? Like, he didn't say a word. He was, like, just, you know, like, staring through whatever. And McNamara, too. It was one of these. So, I would not give up on them yet. I really wouldn't. And I wouldn't. Right. I wouldn't throw the towel in. I wouldn't. You can. They'll probably want you to. It'll probably give them whatever. I'm telling you, Eric All did a lot of good things today. A lot of guys did a lot of good things today. And they didn't get a win. And now we're going to see, you know, sort of what all these changes and everything else that the staff has sort of put together. How's that going to hold up? And on the other side, if you're Michigan State, now we're going to see what you do when everybody knows that you're... Well, I don't know what they're. I don't know what everybody else did today in terms of rankings or whatever that's going to be, but they're going to be expected to go beat Purdue's ass one way or the other.
What did Purdue do today?
Let's I don't see. Give a shit. Doesn't matter. Michigan State's the dude now. You're a top five team.
Purdue right? beat Nebraska by
Oops.
Five.
Doesn't matter. Michigan State's the dude. You better go down there and take care of business. You want to be a playoff team? You go win the game. That's the pressure flip, okay? I wouldn't give up on Michigan, and Michigan State
in West Lafayette. That game's in West Lafayette, right?
Yeah, boy. This thing hadn't been finished off yet. They got to keep going, because Michigan did gain 552 yards today, and Cade McNamara threw for damn near 400 against your ass.
Right. The guy who isn't supposed to be a good quarterback.
The guy who no one wanted to play, apparently. Couldn't even touch him, right? Like, so... Don't tell me this is, like, completely out of the woods either way here. I wouldn't give up on anybody. I really wouldn't. And I know that people were mad after the game, and it's after the game and everything else, but I don't know. I mean, you can not give Michigan State credit if you're a Michigan fan if you want, but, like, I don't know how you watch that game and not just come away thinking, man, that was two really good teams duking it out. One made a couple more, you know?
I want to ask you about Mel.
Yeah.
So this guy, right? Chillest dude in the world.
We gotta get a nickname for Mel Tucker. Yeah.
He goes.
Somebody does.
He does a game day before the game. Comes up. He's got the three piece on.
Oh yeah.
Says nothing. The
Damn
most boring
right.
interview.
Did
says
he have the,
absolutely?
Did
nothing.
He had the head? Was the head shining?
Head was absolutely shining. Like, it was on. Everything was clean. Everything was on point. Like the tie, the knot.
Oh, man.
Perfect. And he gets on and then says, dick. Doesn't say anything. And there's somebody, one of them asks, you know, what do you really think of Michigan? He just goes, I don't like Michigan. And everyone loses their shit. He's amazing, right? And that's it. And off he goes and he beats Michigan's ass. And then he comes off the field and he gets interviewed by Taff or whoever, you know.
Yeah.
And he's just... emotionless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah. And I tweeted at the time, I'm like, this dude doesn't look like he's ready to run through a brick wall. It looks like he's ready to walk through it. Because he's just got that.
Glide through it.
Stride to him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And
man. People see it.
And then, you know, you were there. I obviously was not there. I was already at dinner. I went to Roost down in downtown Detroit. Excellent.
Oh, is that the Michael Simon? Place?
Yeah.
I've actually been there. It's very good, yes.
Killer.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Roast, I believe it's called.
There you go. So I didn't see any of post game. So,
yeah.
But I have been in the Michigan State post game. And so for anyone who has not been there, which is probably all of you.
Yes.
You are crammed into what is essentially a walk-in closet with.
No, it's a bigger room now. It's got the chairs though. Yeah, it's a bigger room, but it's split in half.
Uh-huh.
The
okay.
football room. But...
But everyone's breathing COVID on
yes,
each other, I'm sure.
Everyone's hot, and it's just like... And we were in there for a good minute. Waiting
on
for,
top of each other, right? And you've
Mel.
Got... For a game like this, you've got your national writers. You've got every TV channel in the state. You've got the beat writers.
Yes.
You got everyone's packed into this sardine can, right?
Yes.
All right. Take me there. What was Mel's post-game like?
Well, first of all, when... Mel Tucker comes into the post-game press conference. They bring a podium in. He doesn't sit down. The players come sit down.
When he leaves, Mel, they bring a podium and set the podium down. Mel goes to the podium. So
they should bring in that chair.
Let's be clear. Let's be clear. He does not sit down. So Mel comes in and he's dressed in fresh clothes. Has got a change of clothes.
Did he get a shower in the? Was he there? Was there a Gatorade? Was there?
I don't know. I don't know if any of that happened. But they had their. They had their thing, and Michigan had already done its deal for a good minute here. But he came in and he'd been changed and everything, and he is completely Mel Tucker now, under control, composed. And the thing that struck me about it, just because I know what this game has meant to people over the years, you know, like I know the pressure that like Harbaugh puts on himself for this game. I mean, Harbaugh was seething furious after this game.
Right. Right.
And did not throw a fit and did right. not. And I would say, and I'm people might like laugh or whatever. And say, like, he didn't have any reason to throw a fit or whatever. Like, if you disagree or whatever on the call, that's your, you know, that's whatever. I'm not saying either way. He clearly did not like the calls in this game. And we have seen.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, and I think there were some bad calls in this game.
There
clearly,
were some questionable that touchdown, calls, no doubt.
Including that, or that no touchdown. But, you know, and we've seen Harbaugh in past games snap a little bit on the refs. And maybe he will, right? Monday or something like that. But he didn't hear, and I thought that was a little bit reserved. But back to Mel on the other side. Same guy, Mel Tucker, all the way. Every question he gets asked, he has an answer for. I mean, he's just like Mr. Cool in every scenario. And, you know, he gets asked at one point about, you know, a national title. Or no, before that even, he gets asked about the 2-0 against Michigan, right? So he's the first coach, I think, in the history of the series to start 2-0. Including all the guys.
First ever. I think on both sides.
At least on Michigan State for sure.
Holy shit.
Including all those other guys. And, you know, does that mean a lot to him privately? Maybe. But I can't help but be struck by the... Mel Tucker doesn't look like he killed himself to win this football game. I mean, I'm sure he did in terms of, like, preparation and everything else. No, he did not exactly look like a guy who was fried. At the other end of, like, what did I just go through for that last week? And, buddy, yep. I have seen the winning coach in this game look exactly like that coming out the other side at the end of this game. He did not look like that. I mean, he didn't crack a Diet Coke up there or anything, but, like, I mean, he probably could have if he wanted to. I mean,
right.
That's Mel Tucker in, like, every moment. That's Mel Tucker when he wants to turn it on in front of that team. I mean, he commented after the game, and I put it in the story, like, you know, apologize for my voice. It's hoarse. I only raise my voice from enthusiasm, is what he says.
Oh, it was a good lead. That was right? Good.
Like, I don't yell. Yeah. I don't yell if I don't have to yell. He's just a very under-control person. I think, you know, he talks so much about that neutral thinking stuff, but I really do think that, you know, having observed him now for 2 years, I mean, he seems to live it, you know, and I think that his team, that's what you saw today. They just kept coming, and they didn't measure anything. And Michigan, like, was really good for, like, 59 minutes and kind of a mess for another minute sporadically throughout the game. And
yeah, that minute just happened to be spread over the other 59. Yeah,
it was just, like, littered here and there. And Michigan State just takes advantage of every single one of those mistakes because – you know, you chop wood, whatever you want to call it. It's that ability to sort of like just stay in a fight, just stay in a fight. And like,
I see your point though of this, like there is this, it would make a ton of sense, especially for a second year coach in a game like this, in the situation that Michigan State is in, to build this into a massive thing. And you would see a outpouring of emotion on the game, after the game, right? On the field, this means the world, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't it. His reaction in the immediate aftermath, it was a big win. It was a big win.
We obviously but needed
was
a win
not,
here.
He was not reacting to it the way everyone else was. You know what I mean?
I just think he lives in his own, he's got his own goals, man.
His thing.
Mel Tucker wants, like, Pat Forty asked him about the national title. I was getting to that. About, you know, and he asked, you know, when you got here, Mel,
What was the question? Who, did he ask who does he think is going to win
no,
the national championship?
No, he didn't ask who you think is going to win the national
championship. That'd be a great question.
He said, when you got here, Mel, you said you thought this was a place that you could win a national title at. Do you still think that? And, you know, Mel didn't give a committal answer one way or the other on anything, but, like, proceeded to give an answer that, like, he always does from a place of, like, this experience, letting you know that he is someone that understands what a national championship effort looks like. I've been on a national championship staff. I've been there. This is not it. Do I think you can get there? Maybe. Not it yet. But I do know what that looks like, by the way. Like, this is Mel... I mean, no doors are being shut here, ladies and gentlemen. No doors are being shut. I wrote in the story tonight, Michigan State's going to have a fight on its hands to keep this guy, and it should. And he should cash that check one way or the other. I don't know how it's going to go.
Oh, it's on.
They're going to have to get their pennies together because this guy's he's the real deal. And they're going to have to make sure that they keep him because I'm going to say it again. Like I said a couple weeks ago on here, and we've said it a bunch of times. He fits. You get it now. You saw this thing for eight games. He fits everything they need. Everything they need a coach to be. He is. Like, I think, right, he's a terrific recruiter. He's a very good and steady hand in a game. He's a good he knows strategy. He knows all these coaches from all over the place. If you lose a coach, he can get you a new one. Like, this guy's the real deal. I mean, I really think he is. And I think that if you're Michigan State, you've got to find a way to keep him here. However he got here is neither here nor there. I think you got to figure it out. Because if you look around the country right now, he is going to be in demand, not just at LSU, I don't think. We'll see how this all goes, but your Michigan State folks are going to have to ride this thing out until, you know, the end of the year here.
I mean, I still...
He can say whatever he wants.
I don't know shit. I don't know anything about college football coaching searches, but forget LSU. If I'm USC...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I am all... in.
I mean,
I've seen enough.
Look what this guy just did with the transfer
portal. I'm all in.
Look what he just got a Heisman Trophy candidate out of the damn transfer portal, for crying out loud. And completely changed his team. Strategically, by the way. Not some accidental... We've talked about this. All year, the plan that they had, that they've executed over and over. Everything this guy said he was going to do, he's done. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what a start to a tenure for this. I mean, this has been... I feel like we're going to look back on this, and I don't even, like, really think it's set in on me that this is, like, happening for Mel Tucker at this point. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense from where they were, what we were thinking about in terms of, like...
Yeah, you're right.
Like, what a turnaround. My God.
And you think about, like, the fact that he was even able to be this low-key, like, it's not like he doesn't know what it means, man.
Oh, no,
like, he knows exactly what this game is. Like, this was a fucking day where...
Guy was working 23 hours a day last week.
He had a phone call or a text from, like, Nick Saban at, like, 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, oh, probably,
you know what
like
I mean? Like,
in the morning. Yeah,
right. Right, this is, like, this is one of those days... He knew exactly.
Yeah, probably a phone call. Like,
yes, exactly. Right, yeah. Like, this is it.
This is a big day. And this is the biggest day of your life. This is what this was.
And then just goes and absolutely delivers.
Yeah.
And then just goes and is just like, working on it. We're still just working. You're just like, Jesus Christ. All right, man. Okay.
He's impressive.
So
he's impressive. All
right, flip side.
Yeah.
Coach Harbaugh.
Yes.
So
this is a big month for James.
I don't like
big I week thought, for Jim
the,
here.
The thing is, I thought overall it was a pretty decent day.
It was a good football game.
It was a good. And it was
that
a
included
good day
two
for
good
him.
Teams playing football today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I do think it was an overall. Like, yeah, I agree.
This is not one of those where I was coming out just being like, man, you know, it's just this guy.
Not on his worst effort list. No.
I don't feel that way about it, and. There's got to be, you know, I just wonder when, like, what is the weight look like? Either, like, a guy like him being like, why hasn't this turned? And then from the administration being like, does anyone think that things were going to work out for Michigan in that game? Did anyone have the general feeling? Like,
certainly not after.
Hey, you know what's going to happen? Right. Something good. Something good's going to happen. No one actually believed that. That was why I made that ludicrous pick where I'm like, nothing's happened for this program. It has to turn at some point, so they're going to win on some bullshit in the end. And of course it didn't happen. And it's just been the same thing. So, yeah. I don't know. It's like that weird balance where I'm like, it's the same thing all over again. But I really don't think this was a bad coaching job by Harbaugh.
No.
In the overall.
No, I mean, like, they get 550 yards of offense. The defense obviously had some issues with tackling and such, and Kenneth Walker's a Heisman candidate and all these things. But, like, all the things we've talked about, like, don't be afraid of your talent. They weren't afraid of their talent. Andrew Anthony, right. My God. This guy looks like, I mean, he was, you know, and that's one of the things I think, you know, why I say Harbaugh was seething. Because I think he knows that this was a good day. For him.
Yeah.
I think he knows that he pressed the right buttons enough. He should have been able to. It should have been enough. This should have been enough. And he and Michigan in general should have been able to max it out. Just max out more. And I do think that there is something to when you play the way that they play in terms of some of the stuff they do. There's a high degree of difficulty, which sometimes execution you've got to be on. And they weren't at the right times, I guess, and they haven't been this year. When you're stalling out that many times in the red zone in college football, it might as well be a turnover. You can't just keep kicking field goals like this.
Field goals,
these
man.
These teams come back on you in 10 seconds. You can't do anything about it. Like, it's just how it goes. This is the game now. Like, you're not, no one else is going to say anything. You know, gain 700 yards if you want. If you're going to kick field goals, it's not going to matter. Like, it just won't. And that's got to be the frustrating thing. And I think that that's why he was, you saw the reaction. And that's why Hutchinson probably had the one he had too, because I think they know that they were better probably, you know, overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had guys making plays, you know, Anthony looked terrific. Hutchinson made plays. Ojabo made plays defensively. Guys that we talked about that had to step up and do their thing. The offensive line, I thought, did a nice job against a really salty front. Like, Cade McNamara throws for 400 yards. McCarthy throws a touchdown and you lose. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's, that's probably what he's saying to himself as he climbed on the old bus. Harbaugh, I mean, like, are you shitting me right here? So I am beyond fascinated to see how the next month goes. Because this is a big month to see how this process and progress and all the things that we've talked about all year for Michigan, what happens now?
Right.
And, you know, they had Andrew Bastardus out there today, the Gramps, they call him, the old center. You know, and he said straight up, he's like, we expect a bunch of people to bail on us, but we still think we're pretty good. And why, you know, we're not going to give up. Like, why the hell would we get, we're 7-1.
Right.
It's one loss. It has to just be one loss. You have to move on. Like, that's it. That's life. That's how it has to be. In some ways, and in some ways, Harbaugh's built for this. This is where he can contribute some now, okay? Like, this is where he can offer some more here. Some more, you know, he's been through some horrific gut punches here, okay? Like, time to circle the wagons and see what happens. But it's also one that if you're a Michigan fan, like I've said before, like I can't blame you if you're like, I cannot take this anymore. I don't like this style of play. Like if that's what people are, if that's
true,
right, you know.
But I would also say that Ward, I'm sure Ward watches that game and is probably having a similar thought to this of like, shit, they did enough to win that game.
Of course
they did. And they didn't win it. Is that, you know, how much of that is a thing you weight against it? But it's way more. What happens is next three games, you know.
Yeah, no, it's,
you,
it's
at
the
this point, like, do you, like, I don't want to say have to because it's an unfair question, and neither of us know what's going on in Ward's mind and all that shit, and the outside influences of, you know, money, people, and all that stuff. But like, do you think he has to win the next three games?
No, does he have to win the next three?
I don't. I don't think so either.
No,
I don't think he's coaching for his life.
I don't think he's coaching for his life. I don't think.
And I feel like a lot of people think that he is coaching for his life right now, and I don't think he is.
No, I don't think that that's the case at all. I mean, like, I think he's coaching the number likely 12 team in the country next week or something like that, right? Or 10 team or whatever it is, and I think that's what it is. And then if they go to Indiana and crap the bed, we have a different conversation. But like, if they go to Indiana and beat the shit out of Indiana and then go to the next week and then beat up whoever,
go to Penn State and win.
Next week they're at Penn State.
Okay, yeah. Then they go win at Penn State. Now what are we talking about? He's currently
trailing Ohio State by 3.
So, like, right? Like, right. But if you go to Penn State and get your pants pulled down, we have a different conversation. That's what just happens here. I just think that everyone knows the situation again. Like, if you stack it up at the end of the year, first of all, stack it up at the end of the year. Ward Manuel will never fire anyone in the middle of the season. Are you kidding me? He would rather, like, go to the dentist every day for a month than fire someone in the middle of the season. That's never going to happen.
Oh, I was not suggesting that.
I know, but I'm just telling people in any capacity before you ever get any hair up your ass on anything either way. Right. They could lose out and he wouldn't fire him in the middle of the season, to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't happen. But no, I mean, like, I don't think he's coaching for his job, but I think people at the beginning of the year, I had people telling me, like, they thought that Harbaugh was here for 2 years, right? And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I have any idea. I don't. And I think that right now, the people at Michigan that matter most in terms of that decision are very impressed with how hard this team has played this year. And that is what I would say. Does that mean that Jim Harbaugh is, like, going to be the coach for the next 50 years? No. That means that they're very impressed with how hard this team has played this year. And they're, I think right now, those people would tell you that they're eager to see, you know, what next week looks like. Because this is when Jim Harbaugh has to be a better coach, right? Now. He needed to be a better coach yesterday or today, but now he needs to be a better coach. They have to keep this thing back. I mean, you just lost a hell of a tough game to a damn good team. Get your ass up and get back on the train here because it's still a pretty solid team and you can still do some stuff. Like, no one there should be able to. You can't let this just be something that crushes you. That would be something that that Michigan folks used to make fun of Michigan State people for back in the day. Having taken a really good team into this game, putting everything on the line, losing, and then just being like, well, screw it, who cares? Like, that's not how this works. So, all the season's over bullshit like that I saw out there today,
right?
I don't think so. I would not probably want to. We'll see how this goes, though. I don't know. We're going to see. We haven't seen it yet this year with this team, so.
I mean, I feel like Jim's a very pragmatic man, right?
Sure. Yep.
And he knows the numbers. 2-13 versus the top 10, 3-9 versus Michigan and Ohio State. Of course. Like,
you're not doing it in the heavy hitting moments, but
and now he just lost the harder one.
And now you're falling
between this 2 years.
You're 3-4 in the against Michigan State, right?
Right. You know, so I don't know. What else you got in the notebook? I don't know how much else I got in the notebook. The only other thing I have in my notes, everything else I've touched on, the only other thing I have written down here is that Iowa blows.
Iowa blows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How about that? Remember we sat here a couple weeks ago and we're like, look at this ridiculous schedule. They're going to run the table. They lost to somebody.
Wisconsin.
And then they just lost to Wisconsin today.
They had 7 yards at halftime.
I don't know why anybody listens to this podcast for Football Insight.
I don't know what's going to happen, man. But that's about. Do we about call? I don't know. We kind of called it. We kind of said that's all.
We're very close on breaking down how it's going to be. Can we? Let's get a little silly with Michigan State.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, paint a realistic picture. Okay. So they go. They got what? Indiana.
No.
Purdue. They got Purdue. They're at Purdue. Yeah. And then
Maryland.
And then Indiana?
Maryland.
Someone. All right.
And then they've got Ohio State. And then Penn State.
And then Penn State. Yeah. Right.
So not easy. And Maryland's getting better,
not
too.
Not easy.
And so is Purdue.
But is it reasonable to start getting?
I think they should be 10-0 going to Ohio State.
Is it reasonable to start thinking about, like, this team can go to the playoff?
I mean, all they got to do is beat Ohio State. I think they can beat Penn State. I think they can beat Penn State. I don't know about Ohio State. I don't think so. But, like, I mean, you know, that's a different. Ohio State's going to be able to put them to bed in ways that other teams haven't, I fear.
Now, there's no chance of the. Is there a chance of the Big Ten?
But I don't know if they have the quarterback to do it.
Is there a chance of the Big Ten getting two teams in? No, right? I don't know. That I don't follow these things.
I don't have the... I mean, the playoff rankings come out this week, though, so we don't know yet, really, I guess, is the fair... It's still so early. My God, it's Halloween. It is Halloween. We have, like...
Listen!
We have a month to go.
You can be the responsible one here, all right? I am lighting arrows and shooting them across the sky.
The sun will come up tomorrow or today.
Get people fired up. Right, right.
But,
yeah, and I'll be, you know what, when that sun comes up, you know where I'll be?
You'll be in bed?
I'm going to be in the parking lot.
Oh, what does that mean? Oh, you're going to be tailgating Lions.
Outside Detroit Opera House.
Down at Ford Field for the
let's
crap
go, baby. Yeah. That's right.
So you're still guaranteeing a Lions win? Have you come off that?
No. I'm guaranteeing a Lions win.
I don't know. I was talking to Will Birchfield today. I said, you ready for that first Lions win? And he's like, I don't know. And I said, BQ is guaranteeing a Eagles or a loss. He says they're a complete disaster. And he was like, has he seen... Lions? I'm like, I don't know if he has.
Look, no, I have. Here's the thing. I have watched both teams, and this is it. This is what you have to understand.
Yeah.
I'm not guaranteeing a Lions win.
You're guaranteeing an Eagles loss?
I'm guaranteeing an Eagles loss.
An Eagles disappointment?
Okay. So two very different things.
So if the Eagles win 9-6, are you going to be like, that was not even worth a win? The Lions got draft stock on the line, folks. Like, this is important.
Look, first of all... Here's the theory. I was texting earlier with our friend Chuck Culpepper, who's in town from the big national writer. Chuck is every sports writer's favorite sports writer. He's the best person
sure,
in the
yes.
world.
Is he going to the Lions game?
So I was texting him trying to convince him to come.
Oh, jeez. I was going to say, why the hell is he going to Lions game?
You should cover the Eagles-Lions game. Right, no. I'm pretty sure the losing first-year coach will get launched into Lake St. Clair. Never to be seen or heard from again by either fan base.
The loser is headed to the Senior Bowl.
My money is on Nick Sirianni meeting the water of a Saint.
Is this going to get your boy fired if they lose? Will the Eagles fire him midseason of his first year?
Absolutely.
Has that ever happened?
They would.
You're telling me
that
this is that bad? That he is that bad of a coach?
You know
are
what they
going
should
on
do?
Record that Nick
come
Sirianni
here,
needs to be
lose
in
the Lions,
first
get
year.
Deuce.
Oh, jeez.
Deuce.
Deuce
come
would
on.
Take it, too. He'd be like,
come on.
Deuce would be like, he'd probably come on the show if we asked him to. Talk to us about everything for like an hour and a half. He's the best. You probably shouldn't have lost Deuce. That's a mistake.
No shit.
Yeah, like, I mean,
no shit.
That's a mistake. And he is now Dan Campbell's like number two. You know that.
Brutal.
He's his assistant head coach. He does access with us every week.
I'm sure he is.
Deuce is a lot on his plate, my man. They love him. Love him in Detroit.
Yeah. What'd you think of the Saturday night postgame pod, Nick?
Not bad. Not bad. I think we can maybe do this again if...
big days?
Yeah. I mean, like, it might work if I'm closer to home, maybe easier.
Oh, wait.
But, some big games here's left big, on the schedule, folks. Michigan State, Ohio State,
some
suddenly
games.
A big game.
Well, we can do this. Michigan we State, can do Penn this. State. I can, you can write fast enough and I can stay sober long enough to get these things in on big Saturdays.
It's only 10:30. I got plenty of time.
Give me, how was the scene? How was the, you know, give,
well,
me, the,
okay.
give me the
so
good shit. That we, that,
yeah.
Give me the stuff that we would talk about off
now.
Of the podcast. About
so,
the press
all,
scene, the whole deal.
First of all, it took me an hour to get up there and an hour to park. So thanks a lot, Michigan State Police Department, who I probably have paid more tickets to in my entire life. Are you shitting me right now? Can you guys open
were you
up?
Ever arrested? Were you ever arrested in college?
Let's not. I was never arrested in college, no. Plenty of parking tickets, though. Unpaid. Several. But they've got like three streets open, okay? Like, I saw that Kyle Austin... tweeted about you needed a helicopter to get the stadium. He wasn't joking. You could not get to the damn stadium. Everything was closed. Every side street. Like, you can't get through. Like, you're like... Because, you know, I mean, like, you've been there enough times. You know where you're going. You're just like,
sure,
I'm going to cut
sure.
through here. I'm going to go up here. I'm going to go to Jenison. No, can't. Why? Well, stay here. What the hell's going on? Like, so you're just like... Oh, my God. Traffic was just a total disaster. So I do finally get in. But I think the crowd... This was different than what you saw. What you saw was the unhinged Michigan State crowd, which you've seen before, of course, in basketball.
when they know they've got you dead, when they know that like it's rabid, you know, this was not that. This was everyone chewing glass. The whole, this was much,
that's the good, that's
this
good.
Was much more
love that
familiar. Yep. It wasn't the same, I don't think. And it wasn't even close in terms of intensity. It wasn't the same as that Michigan Ohio State game in 2016. But in terms of like the vibe of people just being generally nervous and then sort of like letting out air when their team makes a play.
Right.
That's what this game was like. Everybody was like breathing once their team got a first down. Because there was just a lot of like, you know, like a lot of that going on. And
right.
There wasn't that like.
Every play was a medical diagnosis. That phone ringing.
I think everybody went into that game thinking they had a chance to win it. But also like the other side could beat us. So like.
Sure.
It was a weird vibe. It was different than what I remember. It was probably similar to 2015, the punt game, when both teams were pretty good and they knew it. And that was a great game too until the punt was the punt. But like this was very similar, I think. Just everybody, both teams made plays. And
right.
Yeah, I just, it never got to that like level of, oh my God, is everyone going to be okay here? I mean, like, I think people were kind of very tired at the end. It took a long time. And it was kind of a roller coaster. And I think it took, like I said, I mean, I think people need to get away from that game for a minute and then digest it to appreciate like all the plays that were made in that game. Because a lot of guys made big time plays in that game.
Sure.
And I think it was like too many to keep up with at times. It was just like a lot of things going on. But otherwise, no, man. I mean, it was a subdued crowd, I would say, from what I saw.
I've always loved. I loved covering Michigan State games up there because they split that giant ass press box.
Press box was split. There was some cheering going
on. Michigan
on
one side.
They had a Michigan State. They had a Michigan State. Some Michigan State fan was cheering in the Michigan side of the press box, ruffling some feathers.
A Michigan State fan on the Michigan side of the press box.
I was on the Michigan side. Because they only had one seat for us on the other side. Colton was by himself today. So we were all on the other side.
I'm sure he was thankful.
And there was a bunch of people cheering over in the one corner. You could hear it on the other side too, I'm sure. It was not a good... not the first time ever happened.
Which website or radio station?
No, I think it was just employees. I think it was just like... It wasn't anybody that was credentialed. Well, they were credentialed, but it was just like employees. Or like people that, I don't know what the hell I don't know who it was, but there were definitely some cheering going on.
Good packed house though, all the nationals.
Oh, everybody was there. They got all the shooters.
The whole,
yep.
Oh, yep. Nice.
Full load. I didn't see anybody missing, unless I missed, but yeah, everybody was present and accounted for. Jack Ebling in the house, of course, at his,
I'm
I believe,
sure.
50,
master of ceremonies.
50-something. I think he rode the elevator down with Mel Tucker's dad. You're damn right he did. That's what you came for. Stayed hour and 3 minutes in.
Jack
Ebling, the legend of legends.
I love it.
The beat writer of beat writers.
Amazing. Amazing. Spectacular.
But yeah, no, everybody was there. It's good to see everybody, of course. And it was great to see this game with people, man. Like last year sucked.
Yes.
Last year was so stupid. It was like, this is weird. What's happening? It's like a scrimmage. This was like, okay, like, this felt like, I don't know. I mean, I hope that, I was happy to see civility there. I was happy to see both sides respecting each other. I was happy to see Harbaugh not throw a fit about officiating after the game and let that game stand on its own. And let that game
agree
be
with
a
that.
Great game. Because, you know what? When you go back to the Ohio State game in 2016, and I know that Michigan fans get upset about that spot. And it, you know what? Like, I got it. It sucks. Mm-hmm. I get it. That was a terrific game, though, too. You know, like, I mean, like, that game deserves to be, like, respected more than I think it is. And I think that game gets cheated a lot in people's memories because of that. And I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should do that. I think you should appreciate these. When these kids make plays like that, like,
yeah,
they made a lot of them today. They left it out there. You know what I mean? And it was and I know that there's 7 years pent up and built up and people get mad at Harbaugh, but, like, Blake Corman got anything to do with that, right? Like,
right.
McNamara
right.
has anything to do with that. Neither does Vestardis. Those guys played their asses off. Like, I mean, they gave everything they had. I mean, and they were just a couple plays short.
I will say this. I know that, like, we bust Harbaugh's balls, but I think you make a great point there, because I thought that when I went back and watched the press conference, and I had that same thought of like, look, in an ideal world, right, the coach is going to sit there and answer the questions and be perfectly accountable and explain what happened on these plays. He's not going to do that ever. Okay. So
it's not
going to
happen.
It's either going to be these short kind of nothing
which is what you got.
Answers
yeah.
or petulance.
Right.
Right. And he didn't, all, he didn't go that way. He just, he just stayed in a single lane of not making it anything more than it needed to be.
And that's fine. And everyone has seen that and you move on.
That was the right play.
Yeah, right. And
exactly.
Any questions you have that linger, he'll answer on Monday. Like everyone's been around him long enough to know the deal on that one. I think that was handled better than it's been in the past on his part. Bounce back, move on from there. Go for it. I mean, not all the time. I shouldn't say that. But like, I was impressed to see that game wasn't completely derailed in the post game, because it has been before. There were no incidents, no like stupid stuff, no silly stuff, no rubbing it in your face, no like whatever. I saw D'Antonio in the locker room, whatever. He can keep his stuff at the locker room. Mel Tucker's got bigger things to worry about than, you know, petty rivalry stuff. I don't like the petty rivalry stuff. I think these two teams should be above that. It was cool to see that both of them were. Let your football do the talking, because they were both pretty good at it, and I think that was good to see today.
There you go. All right. You got anything else?
No, sir.
I got nothing else.
Let's get out of here.
We will get out of here. First of all, God bless the bartenders and servers in East Lansing today.
Hope you guys
did you see the tweet of the line outside of the Riv? 7:30 in the morning, the line down the block. I'm just sitting there. Like,
now, can they go to 2 still, or do they have to close
early? And now, I'm going to tell you from experience, the people working at that bar who are opening at 7 a.m., 6 a.m., they did not sleep from the night before, because they probably closed the bar. They drank a couple hours, and then they reopened that goddamn bar. They probably didn't even leave the fucking place. And for all we know, it's now 10:35 p.m. on Saturday. They're still there, mopping up vomit. Throwing
hammered,
out assholes.
Hammered.
Oh, my God. Just dragging bodies.
Hammered, hungover, and then hammered again. Like, God bless your bartenders, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, these are the heroes that we need. And God bless
them.
Where
would we be?
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed. We hope that you enjoyed this Saturday night episode of The Beat. Wanted it fresh and ready for you on a Sunday morning. If you did enjoy it, and if you do appreciate it, be sure to leave a review in the iTunes thing, whatever.
Store.
Is that still what it's called?
I don't know.
Okay.
The iTunes thing.
Well, find where to leave us a review and be so kind to do that. And then, you know, be sure, folks, to tip your bartenders and servers.
I was born and raised the place where I